Penguin Random House Audio presents Harlem Rhapsody by Victoria Christopher Murray. Read for you by Robin Miles. To Jesse Redmond Fawcett, upon whose shoulders I and thousands of other writers proudly stand. Chapter 1. Sunday, October 19th, 1919. I thrust open the taxicab's door, and the moment my T-strap heels hit the pavement, a cacophony of city sounds welcomes me. The music enraptures me first.
I can't sleep at night. I can't eat a bite.
From a Victrola perched near an opened window, the lyrics from Harlem Blues float down, and then Mamie Smith's contralto drifts into the breeze. The joyous sound of two giggling girls skipping past draws me from the song.
You're just bumping your gums,
a man shouts, and uproarious laughter rises from the circle of men dawdling in front of the barber shop a few doors away. I stand, absorbing it all. The patter of a thousand footsteps of men and ladies and kiddies rushing past. Motor cars chugging and clanking and clicking behind me. Honking horns squealing into the air.
'Cause the man I love, he don't treat me right.
It isn't a cacophony. It's a rhapsody, and my heart races to match its beat.
Jesse!
I face my mother and am surprised to see her brown eyes framed by a frown. She points to my valise on the sidewalk next to hers.
Are you expecting me to carry both?
Oh, I laugh, and a smile fills her face. Apologies, Mama, but we're in New York. I twirl in front of her, and my wrap coat billows at my ankles.
We are.
She gives me a short nod.
You're behaving as if you've never lived in a big city.
You can't compare Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. to this. New York is everything. It's music and theater and... Come on, Mama. Carrying my valise, I rush toward the Siena brick brownstone. At the first step, I glance over my shoulder. My mother stands in the same spot. In her pale gold overcoat and matching cloche, she is as fashionable as any New Yorker. But her eyes are as wide as mine as she soaks in the city's vivacity. My heart swells for the woman who didn't birth me, but who, for the last 25 years, has nurtured me with love. You were born from my heart, she has told me since I was 12. Over the city's music, I call out, "Allez, maman," in the same tone she'd used with me moments before. At the front door, my hand trembles with excitement as I try to steady the key. We step into the vestibule and then through another door before we enter the hallway, and I move to the only door on the first floor. But before I insert the key, the door swings open. Will!
Welcome to New York.
I study the man I'd first contacted when I was a student at Cornell University, some 16 years ago. His mustache has been trimmed since I last saw him in August, and there is a bit more silver blending with the jet-black hair of his beard. As always, he's dressed impeccably in one of his brown three-piece wide-lapel suits. Tonight, though, he wears a more formal bow tie rather than the neckties I know he prefers. The twinkle in his eyes and his wide smile draw me closer. However, just as I reach for him, I remember my mother. How had I forgotten her so quickly? That is the effect of W.E.B. Du Bois. His mere presence emits a magnetic force that is difficult to deny or resist. This is a reminder that now, living in New York, I must be measured in my actions. This will be different from seeing Will on his occasional stopovers in Washington, D.C. I shift so my mother can enter our new apartment, but she doesn't take a single step. She expects an introduction. Maman, allow me to present Dr. William Du Bois.
Mrs. Fawcett, it is my absolute pleasure to finally make your acquaintance.
He takes her valise. My mother's smile has vanished. She steps over the threshold and greets Will with a curt, "Good afternoon." My mother strolls around the parlor, taking in the regal Victorian-style room decorated in crimson and gold, and runs her hands over the oak edge of the sofa, then the matching damask-upholstered wingback chairs. "This is a nice apartment. I hope my mother agrees." I turn to the bay windows facing 7th Avenue.
"But look at this, Maman. This will be my favorite place."
The windows jut out of the brownstone, like a pair of owl's eyes keeping watch over the neighborhood. Will says,
"This is the largest apartment, the only one in the building that hasn't been split."
"What do you mean?" My eyes are once again on my mother as she rounds the room.
"With so many people flocking to New York from the South, landlords are reconstructing the spaces, dividing apartments in half, then doubling the rent," Will explains. "I know the owner of this brownstone, so I secured one of the best furnished spaces in Harlem for you."
My mother steps are silent against the oriental area rug as she saunters toward the back.
"Some of the gals from the office prepared the apartment. Then, of course, Helen," he says, referring to my sister, "we wanted to make certain you had everything you'd need until your belongings arrive."
My mother pauses where the parlor spills into the kitchen. Even with the ice box, stove, and sink, there is space for a hutch and a small dining table.
"Would you like me to show you the two bedrooms and the water closet, Mrs. Fawcett?"
"No,"
she waves her hand. "I'm certain those rooms are sufficient."
I nod. Will nods, and my mother says nothing as she lowers herself onto the sofa. She sits, back straight, shoulders squared, her coat still buttoned, as if she hasn't determined whether she'll stay.
After a moment, I sit in one chair and Will in the other. Maman speaks first. "Dr. Du Bois, thank you for not only finding us this home, but for securing this job with the Crisis magazine for my daughter." "No thanks is necessary. I wanted to make certain you would be comfortable, and Miss Fawcett, has earned this position as the literary editor. I expect that section of the Crisis to thrive under her leadership."
"I agree. My daughter will be a credit to your magazine. Jessie has always been a writer and has been educated well. She's not only a Phi Beta Kappa graduate, but she's proficient in several languages. And in her teaching career, she has already..."
"Maman," I interrupt, dismayed. My glance shifts between her and Will.
"I'm certain Dr. Du Bois doesn't desire a recapitulation of my credentials." "Yes, I was quite impressed with your daughter when I interviewed her for this position."
"Is that when you first became..."
She pauses.
"Impressed?"
Another pause.
"With my daughter?"
If Will hears my mother's derision, he gives no indication.
"I was very impressed. Beyond Miss Fawcett's writings is her understanding that literature is a venue that must be utilized to display the best.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?